For scripture this morning, we're going to look at 1 John, first letter of John, chapter 5, the first five verses of this letter. I was thinking as I was preparing and going over this passage that it would be a good thing even to read all of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5, or even beyond that, to read all of the whole first letter of John. And use that as a part of our message, because there's so much in there that's very well written and straightforward from the Apostle John. But we'll pick a part of that, which is 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I believe if your Bible is the same edition as mine, it's on page 1903. Let me see what it has here. Does it? Page 1903. We're in good shape. Okay. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Dear friends in Christ, we all seem to like the word victory. We've been at baseball games and basketball games and from junior high or fifth and sixth graders on up, or high school, and we watch our favorite teams, and some root for the Cubs and some for the Bears and the Sox or whatever else. We all like to win and we hate to lose. One of the games yesterday, a football game, was lost in the last 5 seconds with a field goal. And it's like, oh, wide world of sports used to always talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, right? There are times in which we start thinking about the fact that we're losing, that our team is not winning. We see things in the world around us that show us when there are attacks in Paris or in New York City or D.C., when there are shootings in the streets, when there are things happening and decisions of the courts and in our land that make us feel like we are on the losing team. Things are turning against us. The work and the word of the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ is losing again and again and again. And so we get the feeling of being defeated. And you know what that's like when at the last moment of the game or in the last inning of the ball game, the other team hits a home run and has a walk-off home run, and you go home with your head down. I was talking to some friends who were very lifelong Cubs fans. I'm kind of a half a Cubs fan, if that'll help you. And when they didn't make it to the World Series, their heads were down and their lips were sticking out, and they were feeling broken and frustrated. I said, come on, this is the Cubs. They have the fourth best record in the whole World Series, all of baseball, because they were one of the last four teams to play. So they're not losers. They didn't win the World Series, but they won well, you know. But you get the feeling like because we didn't win everything, we are losers. And so we in our society, and especially in TV and sports and the media, look at the thrill of victory and glorify those who win and forget about those who lost. Who won the World Series a year ago? Or who won the Super Bowl last year? You may remember, most of us don't, right? Because though we love victory, we immediately move on to something else. Well, there's a sense for us as Christians today, for me, I'll say personally, that again and again we feel discouraged or downhearted when things are done that we feel are against the Word of God and the will of God and hurt our minds and our hearts as Christians, and we feel like we're losing. And in some ways, the numbers in society around us and the surveys kind of show that people are losing heart in the church and in faith and in the gospel and being tested in their faith again and again. The Apostle John lived in a time when the church faced severe persecution. He himself, at the end of his life, was also in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and he had seen many of his Christian brothers, who were the disciples of Christ, were beaten, tortured, and defeated for their faith. And so we want to say, John, when you see so many of your brothers in faith, those disciples of Christ, who were tortured and killed, how can you say they were victorious? John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. What is faith? What does it mean to have faith? Faith is a personal trust in God. You can have faith in many different things. You have faith in things around you, things that every day trust our faith in other things. But our deep heart faith is a faith in the Lord our God, a trust in Him. And receiving Jesus as your Savior, first chapter of the Gospel of John, as many as received Him who believed in His name, He gave the right to be children of God. And so faith is a personal trust in God. And so we think about faith as Hebrews 11 talks about it. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. And in another passage, the apostle says, we don't hope for what we already have. We hope for what's to come in the future. Confidence and assurance is a part of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible or what appeared on its own. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So faith is a trust, a heart trust in God. And for us as believers, God calls us to faith. Faith is the common ingredient or foundation of our personal walk with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so kind of the attitude today is I can live and do as I please and have my own ideas and attitudes, and God had better get along with me, rather than looking at it and saying, I understand and trust who God is and what He says in His Word, and I want to agree with Him. How do we get faith? Where does faith come from? There are two parts there in the Word that come in the Catechism as well. Faith comes through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, or the regeneration, or being born again by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 10, the apostle writes, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is your Lord, if you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With your heart you believe and are justified. With your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses all who call upon Him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message of the gospel, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 also says, by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. And so where do we get faith? How does faith come? When we hear the gospel, when we hear about Jesus Christ, we believe in Him. When we read our Bible, God speaks to us, and His Holy Spirit opens our mind and heart to believe and trust in Him. And so new birth, regeneration, salvation come when the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts. Excuse me. The heart of our faith. First John shows it, tells it very, very well. It seems sometimes in our society that you can go to Toys R Us and buy a new Lego set called Build Your Own God. You know, take over whatever pieces you want and make the God you want to have. But it's foolishness to think that if there is a true God, that God would be subject to our construction or our designs and our demands. The heart of our faith, John says it very, very well. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So in other words, true faith is based on the knowledge, the confidence of Jesus as the Son of God, who is the Christ, our Savior. Only who overcomes the world, verse 5, only he who believes Jesus is the Son of God. So there's a conviction and a confidence that comes there when we see and know that our faith, our trust, is in Jesus as the Son of God, our Holy Savior. Again, as we come up to this Christmas season, as we open the doors of the Advent season, preparing in the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we come to celebrate not just a nice story about a little baby born in difficult circumstances, but a baby who was also the Holy Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So the heart of our faith comes in trusting and knowing and believing in Jesus as our Lord and God. One of the trends that's there in American secular life today is to say it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe as long as you have a good belief. That shows an error in thinking because it says, again, you can make your own God, make him whatever way you want, rather than obeying and loving and learning to know the God who truly is. How does faith help us? Here we come more to the question about how do we gain a victory through our faith in Jesus Christ? How does faith help us? How does faith help me when I'm down and discouraged or depressed? How does faith help me when I'm facing a conflict? How does faith help me when I'm in the hospital or sick or losing my job or having trouble in my personal life? How does faith help me? Part of my work today and my work as pastor for many years has been to visit and work with people in the hospital. And sometimes that's a wonderful thing, to be able to come and share and pray and people improve in health and strength, but there are also times when the word cancer is given or other serious problems, heart attack or stroke or other dangers, and suddenly our hearts are broken and we're crying out to God for help. Many, many times I've had it as I visited with folks in the hospital that they say to me, I would never make it without the Lord. If I didn't know Jesus was with me, I would never be able to endure. And so we find that as well. Part of the comfort I can bring is not only that God is with them and that God knows and cares, but that also they have lots and lots of people praying for them. And so when we pray for others, our faith can help and make a difference. Part of our faith comes with a sense of daily grace and mercy from God. Every day we pray, if we begin our day with prayer, we ask God to be with us throughout the day, to open our minds and hearts, to know what is his purpose and his will, to help us to make the right decisions, to give us strength to do what is good and right, as the apostle talks about, to live in love and service to others and obedience to God. And so faith helps us daily to gain grace and mercy. Ephesians 2 again says, that grace, that faith is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So many times in the Bible's ministry, in the stories of Jesus, there are stories of times when he met with folks, when he saw people who were struggling and in need and ill, and they called him, Lord, have mercy on us. There's a story about the lepers that were crying out to Christ for mercy. Lord, have mercy. One of them comes back to thank, and Jesus says to him, go your way, son. Your faith has made you well. And often the Bible uses that word and that description. As you see it in your heart and in your faith, so it will be. Your trust in God will bear fruit. And our faith is always, and our prayers are always a trust that God's grace and mercy will be given. It doesn't always work the way we want it to work. God doesn't always take our advice. Rarely does he ever take our advice. That's a different thing. But instead, God comes to help and hear and bring hope and healing. Part of faith coming to God is also what we had earlier in the service. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there is the grace of forgiveness. Forgiveness. releasing us from the burdens and the brokenness of the past. Sometimes we may carry with us a whole backpack full of heavy weight of sins and disobedience, of regrets and resentments that we need to lay down, and we need to bring them to God and offer to God so that He will give us grace and forgiveness to purify our hearts. And forgiveness comes as a trust that Jesus has washed away all our sins through His blood on the cross of Calvary. Faith is also a trust in God's daily guidance and His comfort. And so God is with us to care for us and keep us. Jesus says in the scripture, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always to the end of the world." Jesus says in John chapter 16, "In this world you will have trouble." We know that to be true. In one passage it says, "Sufficient to the day are the evils thereof," or every day has enough problems of its own. But Jesus says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And so God's love is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and God gives us grace to find help through the Holy Spirit's work. The story is told in the gospel about Jesus with the disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee in the night. He had been preaching throughout the day, was tired, and I'm sure was exhausted. So he lay down in the back of the boat and was sound asleep. And the storm came up and the boat began to shake and wiggle and began to take on water. And the disciples, some of them who were fishermen, who had been on the Sea of Galilee all their lives, scream out and yell, "Christ, Jesus, wake up! We're going to drown!" And first Jesus says, "Peace. Be still." And the wind and the waves calm down. And then he says something to the disciples. He said, "Where is your faith?" In other words, did you think that the Father would let us drown and die here on the sea? Don't you know God is with us? That God is watching over us? So often in our own lives, there are those times of fear, of worry, of crisis, or panic. And we need to hear the Lord again asking us, "Where is your faith? Trust. Find your confidence in God. Don't let the storms, the noise, the lightning all around us take away our trust and our hope in God." Ephesians chapter 6 gives that wonderful picture of the soldier with all of the weapons and instruments of the armor of God. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God." In addition, he says, "Take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It's an interesting picture that the apostle gives in Scripture there of the soldier with the shield and the enemy shooting flaming darts at him. You know, it doesn't say if you put on all the armor of God, everything's going to be peaceful and smooth. You'll never have a worry or a fear. But he says if you've got the armor of God on you, yeah, the devil's going to be shooting flaming darts. What a graphic description. But your faith and trust will protect you and extinguish those flaming darts of evil. Faith and prayer. 1 John chapter 5, a little further on. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." In other words, when we trust and pray to God, God gives us the confidence and assurance that we're on the right track, that our team, the Christian family, the Church of Christ, is the winning victory team. And he says, "You will know you have eternal life." This is confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we have what we asked of him. Again, God calls us to have confidence in him, trust and assurance that when we pray, he hears us, and his grace will be given. In John chapter 16 in the gospel, he says, "On that day you will no longer ask me for anything. I tell you, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Till now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And so often our deepest, most powerful prayers are those that are offered at a time when we're worried, stressed, in trouble, or afraid. And so God promises to give us peace and comfort. Romans chapter 8, for many of you, this might be a very familiar and a favorite passage. Starting at verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, more than victorious through Christ who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, no angels or demons, nothing present, future, nor any powers, nothing in height or depth in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith brings eternal victory. 1 Corinthians 15, that great chapter on the resurrection, says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the news this past week, the news reported on a police officer and some other folks who were shot in the Planned Parenthood offices in Colorado Springs. That police officer was also an assistant pastor at a local church and was well recognized. And it was interesting, as I was watching CNN this week, that they bore a testimony of a friend about this police officer and how wonderful was his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even in his death, in this horrible shooting, there was a testimony of grace and faith and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ that was given over the network news about him. Some of you might remember those Coptic Christians who were beheaded for their faith in Libya this last year. And many of them, as they were there facing the threat of death by ISIS-type hostility or terrorism, they did not cry out for mercy. They did not beg their innocence. They did not hope and pray that the terrorists would save and spare them. They were praying and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and eternal victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. The apostle says, we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him because he is the Son of God, and we believe and trust in him. And so the catechism says, in life and in death, I'm not my own. I belong in body and soul to my faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The apostle John, through whom God gave us this word, also spoke words of great comfort that are well known around the world in John 3:16, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. So the victory that comes through faith is not only a victory of daily circumstances. God blesses us in abundance in our daily lives. When we're in times of testing and trouble, when the devil's fiery darts, or when life's consequences come at us, we can still find a comfort and peace of knowing we are never alone. Christ is always with us, and that his hope and his mercy will be there to rescue us in life and in death. We belong to him. Jesus strengthens us in faith. To give faith is the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that victory brings us eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 11, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. That life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so eternal life is ours when we put our hope and our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Precious Lord Jesus, our Savior, we thank you for the great testimony of Scripture. We pray you will write it in our hearts and give us a confidence and peace in faith by the power of your Holy Spirit. Even when our faith is weak and struggling, Lord, we know that you hold us fast. Help us, O Lord, to be willing to live and serve you, to love you, our God, to love our neighbors, to obey your word, as the Scripture says, so that we will walk in faith and that our faith will not fail. Help us, Lord, to always see that we have a victorious future in Jesus Christ. Even though daily circumstances may test and challenge us, even though things in our own lives or in the world around us may make us feel weak and frail at times, help us, O Lord, by your Spirit, to have the confidence and assurance that you're with us, that you hear our prayers, that you forgive our sins, that you guide us through life's journey, and you open the gates of heaven by the mercy and the love of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us. May your Spirit's grace be with us every day we live. In your precious name, amen.